What is going on right now? Is it? I thought somebody was whistling me. I was like, finally, you know? Never happens to me. Well, good morning, everybody. This is our last day together. I know it's sad. You got to go home. And if you didn't know you had to go home, you got to go home. People are cleaning the cabins and stuff, and I'll leave that there. But yeah, it's a good thing. You don't gotta go home. Well, you do gotta go home, but you get to go home is what I mean by that. So, we're just gonna jump right in, and we'll just jump right in. So, in fact, I'll just pray for us as we jump in. Lord, thank you for your grace and your mercy. You are so good to us. Thank you for just such a wonderful morning. Thank you for just an awesome time, just reconnecting with people or connecting with new people or meals around the fire or time with family and friends and all that. And we just lift up this day, this time to you and just say, Lord, would you have your way? Would your kingdom come and your will be done in our lives as it is in heaven? And everybody said, amen. So you want to know what one of the greatest marketing secrets is in the world? Okay, I'm glad. Okay, good. Thank you, Tom. Thank Todd. Okay. All right, so one of the greatest marketing secrets in the world, it's actually not having a great product, okay? I mean, having a great product is important because then, you know, you want to have a great product. You don't want it to just be terrible, but that's not even the greatest marketing secret. One of the greatest marketing secrets in the world is personal testimony. Now, I bet you, if I asked you to raise your hand, how many of you over the last week or month or whatever bought something on Amazon? How many people have bought something on Amazon? Okay, I know. You don't have to feel guilty, ma'am. It's okay. We all do it, as you can clearly see. Okay, maybe the question, ma'am, is how many things have you bought? Never mind. I don't want to split people up. So, many of you brought stuff on Amazon, and for the past week or two, you tried maybe a new restaurant or something like that. And usually, what do? Before you decide to hit the buy button, what do? You look at the reviews, right? You look at those videos of the people trying the product because you want to know if normal people like you will use this product, if they actually like it, what are they saying about it, okay? How many people have looked up on TikTok for that recipe and you're like, okay, well, if this lady over here can make it, then maybe I can make it too. I've done that myself, okay? I got this, never mind. We'll just keep going. All these personal reviews, like Fort Wilderness itself, I mean, it's a great place, but oftentimes, I bet you could share the testimony of anybody who's been here because somebody else told you, oh, you got to come to this place. I think I've heard several testimonies from people being like, yeah, my spouse was like, you know, come, and at first I was like, no, but he kept being persistent, or she kept saying, come on, and so I finally came, and I never want to leave. I think I've heard Todd say before that some people prefer this place over Disneyland, which I think that's awesome. I prefer this over Disneyland because I don't like lines and I don't like crowds and I don't like spending a lot of money, which is exactly what you do at Disneyland. So personal testimony is very powerful. It's a powerful marketing tool because it makes something that seems so lofty or something so uncertain seem real to us. I mean, the way I got here to Fort Wilderness is via personal testimony. So I used to go to a church called Eastbrook Church in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So my first time at Eastbrook Church in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, we had actually not been going to church for a little bit of time. We had kind of gone through a church split with our other church. And so, I mean, I think I was in seventh or eighth grade or something at the time. And my mom was like, all right, we're going to go to this new church. And I was like, okay. She made me go with her. I didn't have a choice. She was like, get up, let's go. So we go to this church. We go to the first service at Eastbrook Church, and then she says, okay, I'm going to leave to go to this class, so you just sit here by yourself. This is terrible for a teenage boy. Okay, the terrible. I'm sitting there all by myself. I mean, I'm like the darkest tool in the shed over here at Eastbrook. I hope you understand what I mean by that, okay? And so I'm just sitting there, and then the pastor does something that you just don't do to somebody who feels insecure and feels like everybody's looking at him and feels like you stick out like a sore thumb. He said, all right, everybody, I want you to stand up, and I want you to go and greet everybody around you. And I'm like, I've never wanted so much in my life to just sink like into my little seat and just hope that no one talks to me. I'm like, oh, God, please don't let anybody talk to me. And guess what happened? Somebody came up to talk to me. This little kind of petite, little white 18-year-old teenage girl came up to me. She's just like, hi. And I'm like, hey. And she said, "Do you want to come sit with us?" And I was like, "Sure." So I went and sat with her and her, you know, her teenage friends in the high school youth group. And then after church was over, they were talking to me, and they're like, "Hey, you know, asking me my name and all this stuff about me." And then they said, "Hey, we got this thing called a winter retreat," which I didn't know what in the world that was. All I knew about retreat was from history, and I was like, "That didn't sound fun." So she had to like explain more, like what exactly that is. Like, what do you mean by this retreat thing? Like, is this a good thing or a bad thing? So she said, "We're going up to this place called Fort Wilderness for our winter retreat, and it's for high school and middle school students. And so you should come along." And then by that time, my mom came back from her class to rescue me, but I was feeling a little bit more comfortable. And so she signed me up. It was $60 at the time, which in inflation terms, that's like a billion, you know, something like that. And so I came on this retreat, and I mean, the rest is history. I've been here ever since. I've been coming back ever since. And you can all tell your stories about how you've been here. Maybe somebody said a word. Somebody said something. Somebody said something to you, or you read the reviews on Google, or you heard a personal testimony, or something like that. And here's the thing. This is where Psalm 107 enters in, all right? So if you've got your Bibles, you can turn to Psalm 107. If not, I'm just going to read it for you. It might be on the screen, I think, here. Psalm 107, starting in verse 1, it says this: "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in the desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind, for he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things." Verse 10, "Some sat in darkness, in utter darkness, prisoners suffering in chains, in iron chains, because they rebelled against God's commands and despised the plans of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress." Verse 14, "He brought them out of darkness, the utter darkness, and broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell his works with songs of joy. Some went out on the sea in ships, and they were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep, for he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunkards. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders." The word of the Lord. So you see in this psalm basically a collection of reviews, a collection of 5-star reviews about people who have been in distress, who've been in some sort of trouble, who've been in some sort of desperate situation. And then what does it say over and over and over and over and over again in this passage? It says they were in their distress, and what did they do? They cried out to the Lord in their distress. It says it a couple times. Verse 19, they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. So you got, starting in verse 10 through 16, and we're going to just backtrack a little bit here. So starting verse 10, some sat in darkness, in utter darkness, prisoners suffering in iron chains because they rebelled against against God's commands and despised the plans of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. Then they cried out to the Lord. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. So you got this idea of these prisoners who are in darkness. They're suffering from their own sins. So they were acting like fools. They were doing their own thing. They were saying, God, this is your way, but this is the way I'm going to go. And so they did their own thing, and God saved them. They were suffering. They were facing the consequences, essentially, of their sin. They were facing all that stuff. And then all of a sudden, they cried out to the Lord in their distress. And so you got prisoners, they're bound in chains and darkness, and that really that represents like being trapped in sin or in fear or in life circumstances. Then you got 17 through 22, so you can turn with me over there to 17. Verse 17, some became fools through their rebellious ways. They suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell his works with songs of joy. So you got these people who are sick. Maybe they brought low by their own rebellion. They show that they have self-inflicted wounds, that they've gotten into trouble. They've done what they shouldn't do. And then they cry out to the Lord, and he, in his great riches and his great mercy, he heals them. He helps them. He answers their cry for help. And then we're going to go to verse 23. Some went out in the sea in ships, merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest. They bounded up to the heavens, went down to the depths, and their peril and their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunkards at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. He brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders. So you got sailors in a storm, and that's kind of representing this sense of a life that's out of control. Like a life where there's circumstances that you can't do on your own. You can't make it on your own. You're trying to do everything you can to get out of this storm, and then you can't do it on your own. So life is out of control. They're tossed by the forces of big things that are bigger than themselves, and it points to a moment where we are basically powerless. Like, I don't know if you remember in Mark chapter 4 where the disciples are on this boat and they're all out on the lake and they're way, way far away from the dock, and then it's dark outside, and all of a sudden this wind comes up and the waves break over the boat and it's nearly swamped, and they're trying to do whatever they can to get the water out of the boat or whatever, and they realize it's too big of a situation for them. So what do? They say, teacher, don't you care if we drown? So he gets up, and I'm sure Jesus is just like milking this thing. He's just like, you know, gets up and just is like, oh, what did you say? You know, he calms the wind and says to the waves, be still. And guess what happens? The wind and the waves are still. They're saved. I'm sure you've been in situations where you feel powerless. I'm sure you've been in situations where you tried your very best to do the things that you know how to do, the things that you're supposed to do, the things that society tells you how to do them. And it's not enough. And his response, he's saying to us, look at these reviews. Look at this product. There's this thing called God, this being called God. And you just cry out to him in your distress. And hopefully the more you do that, you realize, maybe I should just cry out to him before I get distressed so I don't have to worry about the stress. Amen? So they cry out to him, and he answers them. So there's this pattern here. You got trouble. You got uncertainty. You got powerlessness, and then you get a cry out to the Lord, and then God delivers them, and then their response is to give thanks. Here's the point of this first point. Everyone here has a story of being lost and being rescued. Everyone here has a story of being in distress, being in desperate situations, crying out to the Lord, and he answers you. We all have these stories. We just saw people got baptized last night. That was awesome. You and your son got baptized last night, right? And then Nora, they left. I guess that was that bad. So of people, that's basically what a baptism is. It's a public declaration telling your story about what the Lord has done in your life. So they're crying out, and the Lord saved them. So everyone has a story of being lost and rescued. We're going to look at verse 21 and 22 again. Verse 21 says, "Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell his works with songs of joy." The encouragement and the point for this is tell your story. Tell your story. Tell of how of the darkness that maybe you've faced. Tell about the doubt you faced. Tell about the uncertainty that you faced. Tell people about it because it glorifies God. Telling people how you are, you're uncertain or you're not sure and all that stuff, it helps people to see, hey, if this person goes through it, it's the same, then I can go through this too. The reason I came to faith was I was at Eastbrook. I mean, I'd grown up in kind of a Christian home. And so I was at Eastbrook, and I started to get involved in the youth group. And then there was this one kid, and he was just like a cool guy. He was very popular. All the girls loved him. All the guys wanted to be like him. And he was like a senior. And he was kind of a leader in our youth group. And he would pray. And when I heard him pray, I was just like, something's different about this guy. Like, something is different about his relationship with the Lord. Like, he's got something that I don't have. So I literally went up to him, and I was like, after one of his, he spoke at our youth group, I went up to him, and I'm like, what are you doing that's different? Like, there's something that you're doing that I'm not doing, and I want to know, you got something that I don't have. I want that. How do you get that? And so he discipled me. He was just like, hey, this is what I do. I read the Word. I talk to the Lord. This is what I do. And I was like, I want that. So I started to literally do exactly what he did, and the Lord met me in those places. I'll never forget. I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but I'll never forget. And I'm kind of like clueless in certain circumstances. So like, I remember it being in college, and I was walking to class, and I was just ready to go. And I'm like, I say hi to everybody, if you can't tell. And so, you know, I'm walking past the front desk, and I'm like looking at this lady that's at the front desk, one of the students. And I'm like, hi. And then I started to walk away, and she's like, can I ask you a question? And I'm like, sure. So, you know, I come in, and she's like, what is it that you have that I don't have? I was like, darker skin. You know, what do you mean? Yeah. What do you mean? You know, she's like, no, you have, I'm sorry, that was stupid. You have something like you walk around and you smile and you've got this like joy and this inner peace that like I don't have. And I just want to know how to get that. So it was great to turn that into a conversation. If you don't tell your story, if you don't tell about the mighty deeds of the Lord, if you don't get to express your sadness and express your frustration, but tell about how God has responded to that, how God has turned it around, how God has met you in that place of darkness, if you don't tell that, then people who are walking in darkness won't see the great light. That's Matthew chapter 5 all over again. Let your light shine before people that they may see your good deeds and do what? Praise your, glorify your Father in heaven. So if we don't tell our story, and you know, some people say this, well, my story's not cool. Like I'm boring. Like I didn't do anything. I never did drugs or anything. I just, you know, I'm a Christian and I go to church and that's, tell that. Tell that, because people need to know that they don't have to go into the darkness. They don't have to do the terrible things. They don't have to experience all that stuff. They don't have to do all that stuff, because there is a God in heaven who is good. He satisfies our desires with good things, and there are people on this earth who have gone to that goodness. They've tasted, and they've seen it, and it is good, and you can have it too. So don't be afraid to tell that story that you didn't do any of those things. Tell it. Some people might say you're boring. So what? You're boring, but you're saved. You're boring, but you've got the presence of God in your life. You're boring, but God is good. So tell the story, because it glorifies God. Sharing isn't boasting. It's giving credit where credit is due. Sharing isn't boasting about your goodness. Sharing is boasting about God's goodness. So just like a satisfied customer, telling people about the life-changing product of God himself, the Spirit of God himself, is giving glory where glory is due. Point number 3, someone else needs to hear your story. Not my story, not their story. Someone else needs to hear the review you have on God and his goodness to you. You're all in different places in life. You're all in different places in this world. Some people are here from Kentucky. Where's my Kentucky people at? Where are they at? Oh, they left. They went back to Kentucky. Okay, well, hopefully they can listen to this recording. Some people are here from Quebec, Canada, right there, right on, right on. Quebec, Canada. Did I say it right? I don't know if I say it right. Okay, thank you. Anybody else here farther than Quebec? I'm from Kansas. I live in Kansas City. Anybody live farther than that? Anybody? Okay, well, you're all in Wisconsin. So here it is. Wisconsin is ready for the story that you got to tell. Wisconsin is in need of people who have seen God's goodness. They're in need of God's goodness, and they're ready for that story that you have to tell. And it doesn't have to be anything big. You don't have to be on a stage. In fact, most of the times, that story that you tell, it doesn't need to be told on a stage. It just needs to be told one-on-one in their darkness, one-on-one when you're walking around, you're at the gas station, maybe one-on-one when you're getting your car fixed or at the dentist's office, which, you know, good luck with that. But, you know, it, one-on-one in those situations, and let them see for themselves. Let them extol him. Verse 32 says this: let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders. Testimonies strengthen our faith. Testimonies strengthen the faith of others. And in fact, I think they say the best way to understand what you know is to teach it to other people. The best way to test your faith and see where God has brought you is to tell other people. You don't have to have all the answers, and you don't have to be afraid of them asking you a question that you don't know. Just do like I do and say, I don't know. But invite them into this place of going, hey, God knows, so let's go talk to him. So again, here's some practical ways to do that. I mean, whatever you've learned through this weekend or whatever God is saying to you, man, share it with other people. Don't keep it private. Share it with other people. Small group settings. You could share it on social media if you dare. You could share it during corporate worship sessions or things like that. And just as a practical note, and I'm going to actually invite Craig up here in just a little bit here, is you guys have been great. I mean, I'm thankful to be able to walk around and just, like, hear people just, you know, tell about how God is speaking to them based off of what I've shared. And I will tell you that the same thing I've probably been saying over and over again, it came through hardship. Like, I'm not making this up. It was hard. I didn't tell the end of the story, which I said I was going to. So I told the story yesterday about my car, and I know people were like, what's the end? Well, my car cost, it was like over $3,000 to get it fixed. And then I got my car fixed. My parents actually gave me the money to get it fixed. And I actually went back to Milwaukee literally with my tail between my legs. Like, I felt the despair of just like, God, where are you? And I never felt more alone in that situation or anything like that. I never will forget. I got back to Milwaukee, and it was a couple of weeks. And I basically I didn't swear off God, but I just said, God, I'm going to need a minute. I'm going to need just some time. Oh, wait, we're not. So I did go to church, and I did do the Bible study thing, but it was just like, I just was going through the motions. And in fact, there was that one song, the You're Never Gonna Let Me Down. I hated that song. In fact, anytime somebody sung it, I just wanted to punch him, because I just was like, look, you might be able to sing that, but I can't sing that yet. And I'll never forget, it was one Sunday, and I'm just sitting there at church, and just, they're singing that song, and this guy, I don't know the guy, I've never even seen him before, he comes up to me and he says, I think the Lord told me to tell you something. I'm like, okay. And he says, you just experienced a great fall, or you just experienced like a great disappointment. I can't remember quite how he phrased it, but he said, I just want you to know that God wants you to know that you're not alone, that he sees you, that he caught you, and your story's not over. After hearing that, I cried. Like, I'm talking, you know, snot and boogers and this, all that stuff. I'm not afraid to admit that, okay? It was epic. But it was good in that moment to realize that, hey, I didn't make a mistake. I didn't do anything wrong. It didn't work out the way that I expected it to work out. But God wasn't surprised. God isn't through with me, and God is still here. I just want to encourage you, whether you did something wrong or not, God's mercy is great. It's new every morning. It doesn't end. It doesn't quit. It doesn't relent. It doesn't give up. You can't exhaust it. You can't get rid of it. He won't stop chasing you. He won't stop showing you his love. He won't stop showing you his mercy. It doesn't quit. You cannot do anything to exhaust his love, and that's the goodness of God. And if you go to him instead of away from him, if you tell your story about his goodness, you'll get a chance to see even more of it, because he satisfies the longing soul. He fills the hungry with good things. I'm going to pray for us, and then Craig is going to come up here. Lord, thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for your goodness to us. Like that song says, your goodness is running after us. It chases us down. So, Lord, in our sadness, in our despair, help us to cry out to you. Help us to see your goodness, and help us to tell your story. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.